Whether you keep them in your home or love to see them in theirs, these are the creatures that bring us all together.
Reptiles. We're going to be delving into the experiences of reptile lovers from around the block and around the world. This is the Reptile Talk Podcast.
Everybody, this is Jeremy Turchin from Brass Band Reptiles.
And I'm Rob, and I am creeping it real.
So the browser acted up there, at least for me. So I didn't see the clip get played. So I don't know if Rob's going to get away scot-free with what we're doing.
I don't know.
Oh man. Oh, apparently you did not, because Mark is in the chat and just says, "What the fuck? That boy's thick."
Just so y'all know, that's what happens before the credits, before we start filming. That's what happens almost every time, man.
Every time. And it's if you ask why I'm always laughing when we start, it's typically because of that. I see a little one by one square at the bottom of my screen moving around.
I don't have a very large butt, but it's very shapely, you know?
It is a shapely butt.
Yeah.
This is true. This is true. For those of you who wanted to know, now you know.
Now you know.
What's up, man? How are you doing?
Dude, I'm doing pretty good. We were talking backstage, and I sent you a little video earlier. I found some black widows while I was out working today, and this is the first time that I've seen like more than like one here or there. So I was treating a house. This customer just moved into a new house, and I was doing a little inspection and treating around their house. And I was like, "Oh, that's a black widow web." And I like look, boom, there's a black widow under there. I look, you know, 5 or 6 feet away, boom, there's another one. Boom, there's another one. And I was like, "Hey, just so you guys know, you had a whole bunch of black widows. Might this be something you want to keep an eye out for?" You know, so.
Maybe,
but
maybe.
Yeah, so. I mean, honestly, I know that they're not as dangerous as they're made out to be, and they're not going to really pose a serious threat to these people, but right. It looks good when I can point it out. So I was pretty hyped about that. So I collected some. I think I'm going to use one as a mascot at my work office, because it's just like, there's like nothing in there to make it look cool. So I was like, I think we should have a black widow. Why not?
Are you going to keep it in the display Wendy's cup?
No, I mean, it's a McDonald's cup, Jeremy.
Oh, sorry.
It's in its natural habitat, okay?
It is actually, it's quite natural. Living in the wilds, the suburban areas.
Yeah, pretty much. So that was cool. And then I found a little DK snake. And then, yeah, so it was an okay day. How about you? How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Like we were talking before, I finally had some time today. So I went out to a local trailhead and just investigated. It was too late in the day to really find anything, but it was a really nice spot. It follows along a creek. So there's plenty of spots for snakes. And on iNaturalist, people have seen black rats and rough green snakes and stuff like that. So it's only 8 minutes from my place. So I'm super stoked to just be able to have a close little spot where I can get away and try to find some things, get into some debauchery. I was going to go to a different trail a little further out, but didn't really want to take a super long drive. But then we had a bear sighting very close to the apartment complex. So I opted to not venture deep into the wilderness today, just having that bit of knowledge in my brain. So
just mountain things, you know.
Yeah, you know, mountain region things. It's fine. It's okay. Oh, gosh.
But, one more thing before we get into it today.
Yeah.
You'll see behind me. I've got my black box cages set up. I'm like, I had a whole bunch of stuff on my end go on, so I haven't been able to really set them up yet, but I just am now finishing setting everything up, getting the light and getting the branches, getting everything in there, so I can't wait to share a little bit. I got Ursula, my evil Barnack, back here, and she is staring me down like she's like, right, right there, and she wants to hurt me. And so Janet and then Fleb are going to go into the other two. And, dude, I can do some upgrades on some stuff, and I'm really hyped. So make sure you check out Black Box Cages. They're a sponsor. And I love these enclosures. I can't say enough good things. I really am enjoying these enclosures so much so far.
Hell yeah, dude. No, it's awesome to see those set up in the background. Hell yeah.
Meanwhile, buddy.
I have the plant oasis happening back here, which is pretty cool. So
that's awesome.
Got some things set up. I got this cage. I took a trip a while back with Lenny for our buddy Matt Baranek from Sassabek to go pick up some monkey tail skinks up in Virginia. The hitch was he only wanted the skinks, but the woman was like, if you're going to take the animals, like everything's got to go. And she had this cage, was going to deck out this whole cage for them. And Matt has plenty of stuff. He didn't need that. He was just interested in the animals. So he's like, if you do this for me, you can keep all the dry goods. You can keep that cage. You can do whatever. I was totally cool with that. So this is like a 4x2x4 enclosure.
Damn.
So we were just going to set it up for like a chameleon. You know, I was going to go grab something from our friends over at Frams Cams and was like, man, you know, I'm still down to do that, but it's just a lot of extra work. So I was like, you know, he loves plants. And I was like, you know what? There's plenty of room. I can set up a couple of shelves in there, get some cool other little plants and stuff. We got some pothos that we're just letting grow so we can start clipping and using in other things. So yeah, so we got the little podcast plant oasis over here. But heck yeah. So the only other cool thing I have to talk about before we bring our guest on, I hatched out a fucking emu.
Yeah, what the hell, man? What?
So shout out to our buddy Josh Ortiz, who has a pair of emu that laid a bunch of eggs. And I happened to go over to his place, and he was like, I'm going to give you an egg, and you incubate it and hatch it, you know, see if you can hatch it. And I was like, okay, sure.
You know,
not thinking about having an egg rotator or anything like that. So get the egg home, get it set up. Josh sends me a bunch of info on how to incubate it. So basically I had to rotate it twice a day hatched out 2 weeks early. So it was 6 weeks of incubation, 6.5, 7 weeks of incubation. Rotating it every other day for the most part, maybe miss a day here or there. And I went down to Statesville to take care of my stuff. And I'm like, oh, I got to pull a clutch of Mexican Black King eggs. And as I walk over to my incubators, I happen to see this giant brown puff in the bin that is supposed to have a giant blue egg. So I was like, what the hell is going on? Open it up and just... is this little baby emu.
That's wild.
So, dude, it's freaking nuts. Like, I did not plan to hatch out a dinosaur in 2024, but indeed I did. So...
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that is a pretty fun experience. So I'm going to raise it up for a little bit and then it'll end up inevitably going back to Josh. But a cool experience, nevertheless.
Don't worry. In 3 weeks, it will be half as tall as you.
Yes. I'm very tempted to keep it and make it my new security guard for gigs. I will bring it on the plane.
Bro,
it will have a black jacket and gold chain. Like, don't mess with me.
Bro.
Oh, gosh. But that being said, it's been fun. It's fun watching this little thing figure out how to walk on its like oversized limbs. But yeah, it's cool. There'll be an update that goes up tomorrow on Instagram. So
Okay.
So, because now it's walking around and eating and drinking and doing all of the fun things that little emus do. So now it's cute. So maybe I'll bring it to Raleigh and just have it behind the table at Raleigh.
Oh no. Terrifying.
Oh gosh. Anywho, super excited for tonight's episode. We're hanging out with our buddy Matt Bowers from Peach State Pythons tonight. Let's go. Get him in here, man.
Flexing and flashing, man.
Man, what's up, dude? Gentlemen? Not too much. Sure. Really glad to be here. It's been a couple of years since we were able to do this. It was old school back then. It was no video. I didn't know you two. And it was just this like cold call. But there was nothing cold about it. It was super warm. But that was years ago, man. So it's good to be back. Definitely overdue.
Yes, yeah, man. Sir. There's been so much evolution going on as I've watched you over the last couple of years. And I love everything that I'm seeing. So I was like, we got to get you back on here so we can talk field herping and all the stuff that you got going on, man.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Dude. Y'all were in different states then. So much has changed. So
it's true, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That was pre
ocean swimming.
Yes, right. It was. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I still think about that at least once a week.
Yeah. You know, and what's crazy about it is, and I don't know if we've ever got to talk about it, but Daytona is so crazy. And it's just like, there's so much going on. You're talking to so many people, overstimulated. That when we went out there, like the way you described it, it was just as, I don't want to say special, but like such a cool experience for me as well. So hearing you describe what was going on in my head, and we had never talked about it, I was like,
yeah,
how was Rob feeling it that much too? So it's just really cool to hear that. And we did get eaten. So.
We did not get all limbs are accounted for.
That's right.
True.
That's right.
See, these are important facts.
Yeah, there's an alternate universe where we both died that weekend, and they have like a memorial at Daytona every new year now. They're like, Matt and Rob, they did the dumb thing, you know?
Absolutely.
All I'm saying is, in that alternate universe, my asshole self is still like, these dumb fucks.
We'd expect nothing less. That's how we want to be remembered.
Right. Literally. I just remember I was like, man, I'm just feeling it right now. I really want to go jump in the ocean. And I was just like, everyone's like, you want to go do what now? And I was like, I just want to go jump in the ocean. And Matt was like, let's go.
Dude was running like crouched. You had your back. It was almost like you're sneaking, but really fast. Like something was going down. I had to be part of it.
And wasn't it like the next morning that somebody had seen a hammerhead or something? Off
KJ.
Yeah. It's like, just that's right. So you know,
giant.
Oh gosh. Good times.
Yes.
So now this year when we go down to Daytona, we probably shouldn't do that, but we should do some field herping though.
Yes. Well, we attempted.
Yes.
Was it the year after? Was it that year? I think it was the year after.
I can't remember.
Yeah, nonetheless, we tried. Yeah. A storm had kind of rolled through, so temps weren't ideal, conditions weren't ideal, which is always going to be my excuse when I don't do well, but it was like weird conditions. But I mean, we didn't even see anything. Well, we saw Nerodia,
but that's like
that was it. And anywhere,
yes,
yeah. You always count on the Nerodia.
You see, like one of those retention ponds behind a grocery store that's like covered in slime. There's still Nerodia in there.
Nerodia,
100%
for sure. But dude, you've been doing so much field herping, and you travel a little bit for work, so you've been able to field herp in like all these different areas and check out all the stuff, and you have become a master of finding tin.
Yeah, I'm so good at finding tin. Like maybe not snakes, but tin. I have stumbled onto so many random pieces of tin that are laid out. It's unbelievable. and it's really weird, honestly. Like it's just like, why is there tin laid out? And then I don't find anything under it, but I know where their tin is, whoever's it is. And all over, I did this one day. I think it was last year, maybe the year before, early March. And it was starting to warm up. I went down, I drove 2.5 hours to South Georgia and was going to hit the sand hills. Because it was warmer down there and I have no idea where I'm going. Right. I'm just kind of looking at the map and looking for, I guess like roads that look like sand, whatever. And I just got in this roundabout and started looking around, and I found 10 just strategically laid out there, like just blind, just going down there, had no idea where I was going. And I found somebody's 10. There was nothing under it, but even 2.5 hours away from home, I'm finding 10 out in the woods. It's crazy.
That's weird, man. To study underneath you, because I'm not great at finding 10. And I'm so used to just like looking at trails, and I'm just so used to hiking. Road cruising is still foreign to me. So, you know, and right. Down here, it's so different, because in New England, it's like you find rock piles and you look for like rocky outcrops and things like that. And then there's not really a whole lot of tin up north. So it's like, I got to get more keyed in down here.
You would think that would be, tin would be good up there because it's cooler. So you think that would be like a strategy people use. Maybe people aren't herping as much up that way.
Probably not. And then a lot of the property is like owned by people or, you know.
Because I was out, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I found some tin. And it was low 70s outside. Mm-hmm. So not too hot. But a little warm. But anyways, the tin burned my hand when I was flipping it, because it gets so hot. So there wasn't gonna be anything under it. But so Georgia can get real hot, and it's only like a good strategy at certain times. And I don't, you know, maybe early in the morning, and then they leave, or if it's really cool. And then if it's out like deep in the woods and not getting a lot of sun, then it doesn't really do anything anyway. So it's not. So it's like, it's kind of weird, but it's always exciting to find 10. Cause, and then the other thing is like, it's probably there because people are looking and had successful looking for snakes. So even if there's nothing under the 10, it kind of tells you you're in a decent area for snakes. That's what I tell myself at least, but like, throwing it out there.
Yeah. But. I was just, I would certainly think that it was probably somebody looking for snakes or had an idea about that. Cause who the hell else is just carrying a random thing of tin into the woods?
Right. Especially if you find several pieces and they're laying wood on top of it. And then I don't know if I would assume they've seen snakes and be like, all right, I need to target them. So let me put these out. So it kind of just tells you that there's probably stuff going on there. Unless they're just like, you know what, let's drop some tin here and see if we find something later. I don't know, but I am good at finding tin. No, tin is zen. So I couldn't really teach you how to do it. You just, the tin calls me, I guess.
Ah, okay.
I have no idea. It's weird.
Now we're going to call you the Tin Man from now.
That's a good idea. That is a good idea.
Matt's like, you got to boil me up. That's, boys.
That's right. Get a little squeaky over here. Getting a little squeaky.
Yeah, when you're not finding things, you're like, I'm getting a little squeaky here. We got to find some tin. What's going on?
Lube me up.
Oh, bro. Shit.
But you've been finding like so many, you have actually been finding stuff too. Like you're not just finding tin, but I know that between how much stuff you post and how much stuff you're looking, I know that you're probably, you know, right around the same odds as the rest of us, but it's like, you still are finding a decent amount of stuff.
Right. Yeah. I have. And it's like you said, it's a lot more looking than finding.
Yes.
And it's a lot more busts than it is successes. Mm-hmm. But what's neat is when you just kind of find an area that's snaky in essence. So like I'll go and just pick a place and hike around and find nothing. But if you do start finding stuff, there's more there, which is kind of obvious, I guess, in a way, but it's almost like there's nothing. Or it's a good place to find snakes. So you just got to hit enough places until you find that hot spot. And then you can revisit the hot spot. But I have gotten, I want to say, and how much of it is luck too, right? Like I can go to places that habitat is insane. You're like, this is it. There's going to be timbers everywhere. There's going to be, and you don't find a freaking decays. And then I'll go somewhere else. Where like there's houses here and I'm like, this park doesn't look that good. And you walk the edge and you'll see racers and a black rat. It's just like, so there's really no telling. You just trial and error, you know?
Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I have gone to a place and I'm like, oh man, I'm going to see so much shit here. And then I spend 4 hours walking around and I see like a redback salamander and that's it. And I'm like, and then I go to like literally, I went to a disc golf course recently, and I'm like, okay. And like one of my friends is like, yeah, like this disc golf course usually has some stuff there. And I was like, man, it's a disc golf course. It's like not a whole lot of like stuff. And I started looking around, boom, copperheads, racers, this.
No way. It's one of those snaky areas.
Yes. It's just a snaky area.
They're condensed. Yeah. It's weird how that works out. And I don't know, it's probably some science behind it or something, right? Food source or something. Or maybe if there's houses around, they have to be condensed to an area where there aren't houses, where if you go out like a WMA, they could be anywhere. I don't know, but that's interesting how that works. But you have, when you go down by whatever river creek that you go by, you find a lot of stuff there.
Oh,
that's
a good area for you. That place is covered in snakes always.
Yeah.
Like even in December, the place has got snakes there. And it's taken me a while to figure out that one is a snaky place, because like the first couple times that I went there, I took a different trail and like I didn't see shit, man. And then I came back another time and I found like a black rat snake, but it wasn't kind of near the water. And I was like, it looks like this would be a place where I should see some stuff, but I'm not seeing stuff. And then all of a sudden I like changed the way that I was looking at that area. And I was like, oh, snake there, snake there, snake there, boom, 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 boom. And I started looking a little bit different than how I was used to looking at stuff. And then I started finding all sorts of stuff. And I've seen probably, I don't know, 6 or 7, maybe 8 species of snakes there. It was like,
yeah. And you find good snakes too.
Yeah. Like the first thing that I saw there. Yeah. The first thing that I saw there, which is unfortunate, was a DOR, but it was like a 4 foot long chain king, maybe like three and a half foot long chain king. And it was dead in the road. And I was working, I drove like by it and I was like, God, that was a king snake. And I like whipped around, pulled over and I didn't realize that it was hit, but I like pulled over and got out of the van, like ran out up to it and it was dead. And I was like, oh, and so I like marked it on my phone and I was like, okay, this area has got king snakes here. I got to come back. And I came back and that's when I like took the other trails looking for stuff. And man, I struck out the first 2 times that I went there. And after that, I started actually seeing stuff. And then now I go there and within 20 feet, maybe 20 feet is exaggerating, but within 2 minutes of parking, I can find snakes. So just like a really great spot. And it's really heavily used. There's lots of people that hike there and people just walk right by them. I literally was sitting there photographing stuff and people will just be walking by. Snakes don't care. As long as you don't stop and like stare at them, they don't care. They know the deal. So,
right. Well, you know, you hit on like a really good point that I have had success with in some of these places that I found are snaky. When you find a snake dead on the road, like that area is good, because you think like the chances of a snake crossing the road at the time a car is coming, that means there's probably a good amount of snakes moving. And so if you ever see that, that's always a good place to really spend some time looking. It's anytime I've found a snake on the road, that's always been an area where I've been able to find a lot of snakes. Just little cues like that. But Asheville, I have not had any success. I don't think there's a lot of rat snakes, I think, but the trails I've found out there, and you can tell me if I'm correct or not, they kick my butt because it's the hills.
Yeah.
Like, it wears me out. And then if I try to get off the trail to go like flip, it's so steep that I'm exhausted after like 35 minutes and I'm like, I can't do this. I don't know if that's what you've experienced. I didn't see a bear, but. I don't know if that's what you've seen out there, but I've tried, but it's hard.
No, I haven't had the chance to go out to many of the trailheads, but most of the ones that I've seen that are close to me are like, they're all right at the mountains. And it's just, that's going to be so hard to navigate. Number one, just to, you know, just to hike, you know,
just the trail itself.
And then it's like, oh, now I've got to find a semi-flat space to where, like, if I slip, I'm not going to tumble to my doom, you know,
flip too hard and just go down the hill.
Exactly.
Or kill people below you. Like, lose the rock, just take some
create an avalanche.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But that's, I'm still trying to get Asheville dialed in because I go there quite frequently, but every time I've tried and I'd like to think that I'm in decent shape, but it humbles me every time. And I'm like, so I don't know. Maybe I need to get farther out where it flattens out a little bit. I usually stay like the Biltmore area. Like, I'm not at the Biltmore, but outside. So I don't know the area that well. I just go to the same places. But anyway, so it's definitely in the mountainy area.
Yeah.
So maybe we need to branch out where it's flatter.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the way to go. I know that area a bit, and it's definitely super mountainous over there. Yeah. It's like a beautiful area.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Well, you know what? That's a good point too, as we're talking about not finding stuff and still getting out, not finding anything is still pretty awesome, especially when you're in a place like Asheville or you're wandering out in these places, just being out and it's quiet and just flipping rocks all day and finding a random salamander. It's still, although you want to find something. So on one hand, you're a little disappointed, but it's like, how can you be mad at this when it's that pretty, you know? And then that makes the good days that much better. Obviously that mindset.
Yeah, for sure. Right.
When Kristen and I were out in Nashville and we did that hike, we like looked up, like we want to do like a waterfall hike. And so we looked up ones and this one was like, oh, it's short. I think it was like a mile and a half or 2 miles or something. I was like, no big deal. Dude, we do that shit all day. No big deal. Bro, we got out to, it took us a while to get out to the actual waterfall. And then when we got there, we spent like an hour filming all those salamanders that were there. And then we were like, okay, we got to hike back. Damn, I wonder if we're at the halfway point where if we turn around and go back the way we came, it's going to be quicker, or if we should just keep going the rest of the way out. And we just kept going the rest of the way out. Oh my, dude, we got our asses kicked. It was so, by the end of it, we were like, we need to take a break. This is like, we didn't even get to the car yet. And we're like, we got to take a break. This is too much. And we go out all the time. It's different, man.
It is different. It is so different. And I can't be the elevation in the air. I don't think it's that high, but I guess it's just the ups and downs. But yep, that's exactly how I felt. Like, dude, I'm 20 minutes in. Why am I tanked? I don't know.
Yeah, right.
So,
but we saw some cool salamanders. So
they do have good salamanders, right? They have good salamanders. They have the greens, which would be nice. We all probably need to link up and go look for greens out there.
I have not seen any yet. And that is like my dream salamander to find. That is my favorite species of salamander.
Hell yeah.
Is that the one you had as a toy as a kid?
Yeah, when I had a little one when I was a kid, dude. I was hyped about that. I just was like, green is my favorite color. And then like a little green and black speckled salamander. And then they act like geckos. They like jump and stuff. Dude.
Yeah. Well, I know we had found one in Georgia. Well, Bob and Ryan did, and I got to see it. But
you found it too.
It still counts.
Well, I think me and Aaron were like climbing boulders like half a mile away, but they showed it to us. But it's crazy the environment they're on that they are identical to. The rock with the moss. I mean, they mimic it just immaculate. It's pretty cool. It's really neat to see that. And that look, and then
nature's badass, dude.
Right. Yeah. It's so perfect. Like I get like, you know, sometimes they have a spot or blotches to break up the outline, but this was like, this is moss. This is moss that moves. It's pretty cool. But yeah, that would be cool to catch one up there.
Dude, we got to figure out a time to do that. Yeah. When you're in Asheville next time, I'll see if I can coordinate me going out there, and then we'll drag Jeremy out too.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I'm so
get down. You outside, buddy.
I'm so down.
Yeah.
I know that was my thing today was like, I'm thankful, but you know, for the last 4.5 months, I've had so much music work that's come in for like recording sessions and stuff. My free days, I'm like locked in the studio and I'm tracking basically the whole day. And then by the time I'm done, I'm like, I'm fucking exhausted, man. Like,
right.
I'm just staring at blowing my face off and staring at a computer all day. Like I want to make dinner and go to bed, you know?
And your only option is climbing a mountain.
Yeah, exactly. Which is not fun.
We need a plan B.
Yeah, exactly. They got an elevator on that mountain.
Right.
But yeah, so I'm excited. I'm excited to get now, you know, things have mellowed out a little bit on the schedule for the next few weeks. So the days I have off, I actually kind of have off. So I want to take advantage of some of my days and actually start getting out there and looking for stuff, man. So yeah, I'm so down.
How much of like getting outside and not just the physical walking, but like sunlight and getting out, like, it's supposed to be like really good for you health wise, mm-hmm. especially getting sunlight. Yeah. We're inside all day. So sometimes that's the other aspect of it. Even if I don't find anything, I need to get out and get some sun. So somebody who's in a studio all day, it probably, it might make you like feel
some better. Good.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, 100%. Like I'm really thankful. Like where I'm at, like we have a nice balcony at the edge of the living room. So I can go out and like, we have nice. A nice mountain view and everything. So okay. I definitely take advantage of that to just get a little bit of sun and just be like, yeah, okay. That's a fucking mountain. Like,
Jeremy, right? you got to get the shorts on so the legs don't blind people at Daytona. That's
good point. Start planning now. It takes time.
That and the tank top, man.
Oh, yeah. The farmer's tan looking good.
Oh, yeah, man. That's how we do. Shit. Dude.
Yeah. Luckily, like the one advantage to my job is that I get to be outside a lot. So, like, I get a lot of sunlight for the most part. Yeah. And you know, getting to do a little bit of herping. Although since I took this promotion, I am outside less, like doing less services, so I'm not as out and walking around as I used to be. But I still try to get out there. You know,
you're just out there upselling the neighbors,
trying
to. Yeah, right.
Hey. Sign them up.
Yeah, hey man. I'm not really a salesperson. I've never really been a salesperson. I'm always like, if they want it, they'll get it, and then like. You know, my job is like heavy on the sales. So I have to like step out of my comfort zone and like talk to people about that sort of stuff. So,
hey, Rob, you don't sell it. The service sells itself.
That's what it is now. That's what it was today. Literally.
Especially when you're cupping three Black Widows, you don't have to say much. You're just like, look at this.
I went to the neighbor's house. That's exactly what I did. I literally went to the neighbor's house and I was like, hey, I just pulled these out of your neighbor's house. Like, do you have a pest control company? Because, like, I see that you have kids. Don't let them touch the spiders around here.
You just got to start, dude. You got to own, you have corn snakes, but you just need a black rat snake. And it's like your placed black rat snake. Exactly, man.
That's the kid I was working with today. He was like, man, if I was a slimy salesperson, I'd just walk around with a cup of Black Widows every day.
And well, like, you were telling me that story. That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, that person's probably like, scammer. You brought that from home. I know how many spiders you have. I've seen you, Rob, at a show with a backpack full of them. I don't trust this McDonald's cup.
The thing is, I don't keep a whole lot of true spiders. I like all the tarantula stuff.
That's not a spider?
They're a little bit different. So like true spiders, their fangs move side to side, whereas like tarantulas, their fangs and chelicerae move forward and back, like up and down. So there's like huge, big physiological difference, like evolutionary splits that take spiders and tarantulas away from each other. I mean, all tarantulas are spiders, but not all spiders are tarantulas, like the turtle and tortoise thing.
Mine over there.
Hey,
remember, I was scared. I was like, Rob, what are these? You're like, oh, that one's cool. That one's cool. Don't touch that one.
Yep.
Understood.
He's like, let me write that down on the top of the container. Don't touch this one.
No, we have the little stickers, and one's green because that's the nice one. There's one that's yellow. It's okay to touch, but he's not as nice. And the one you told me not to touch has a red sticker on it. So we got the traffic lights combo going. Perfect. Don't touch the red.
It's funny because like my mom has kept tarantulas like almost her whole adult life. Okay. But then when she moved down here, she's like. She didn't really want to like move into a new place with a tarantula. And especially cause she's kept my first snake, my first ball python Monty. She keeps him there. So she'll always have like something exotic in the house. And recently she was like, I miss having a tarantula. Like, what do you got? I know you got tarantulas, like just send one over here. And so I like showed her a whole bunch of them and she's like, oh, I want this one. And it was like the Chilobrachus fimbriatus, the Indian violet. And they are mean, man. They are quick to bite, but they web over everything. And she likes that they web over everything. And so I gave her that one and I was like, look, don't touch it. Cause like back in the day, we would hold like everything. We would hold like the Indian ornamentals and like we held almost everything. Like
gosh.
We were careful about it, but we held almost everything. And I was like, look, this one's different. if it touches your skin, it will bite you. Just don't hold it. And so I ended up getting a different tarantula that I think she would like. And so I messaged her a video the other day. I was like, hey, I got this other tarantula. You can hold it and it's still really pretty. Do you want it? I'll trade you back. And so she was like, yep. Yes, I do.
She wants the whole one.
Yep. Yeah. So she's going to have the Phonopelma. No. Brachypelma albiceps. It's like a golden red rump tarantula and they're really pretty. And I was just like, I kind of want the other one back. And so, cause I like all the angry ones.
That's what I was about to say. You like that mean stuff.
Yeah. I like the mean stuff. I don't want it to like me. Come
red
on.
Stickers everywhere, man.
Yeah. Right.
Pretty much. No, I'm kind of looking like what I've got that you could hold. Not much.
At the end of the day, it's just Rob's holding Black Widows because it's the safest fucking thing. Right?
Yeah. When I grabbed these ones today, the dude I was with was like, aren't they gonna bite you? And I like poured it into my hand. I was like, nah, like their anatomy makes it really difficult for them to bite you. So like I'm not worried that it's gonna bite me right now. And he's like, dude, that is fucking crazy.
Oh, I didn't know you could just do that.
For the most part, yeah. Since their fangs go side to side, their fangs are really close together, so it's very difficult for them to like bite a flat part of your skin. I'm not advising that people should hold Black Widows, but I've held lots of Black Widows and not had any issues. The main thing is when people get bit is they'll get stuck in their clothing and it gets like pressed into their skin, or it'll be in a shoe or something where it's like pressed into the skin. And then they are able to bite you fairly easily, but if they're just like sitting on your hand or your arm, it's much more difficult for them to be able to bite.
That's a good little bit of trivia there.
Yeah. And if you're ever wondering, don't do it, but yeah, you know, do as I say, not as I do, but
that's right.
They, if you ever see Black Widow webs are really easy to spot if you're out and about. And like when I was in Massachusetts, I would go out and see like 20 or 30 of them in a day because they make like this very distinct web. Usually it's like at the base of a tree or near a rock or something, but it'll be real messy at the bottom, like lots of little lines, all messy at the bottom. And then away from the main portion of the web, they'll make these like 3 to 4 foot long trigger lines that go like way far away from the main portion of the web. And if you go up to it, if you see a web like that and you go up to it and you like pluck it, if it breaks, it's not a Black Widow. If you pluck on it and like pull it and it pulls the whole web and it holds like the tension from your finger, it's almost always a Black Widow.
Whoa. Well, what's the invasive one? Japanese, the big.
Oh yeah, the golden orb weavers. Yep.
So I those are popping up down here, and like you could freaking like a guitar string.
Oh
those
yeah,
those things are freaking tight and thick. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
It almost makes a noise. It's so thick.
Yeah.
Those
ounce for ounce, spider silk is one of the strongest substances known to man.
The what?
It's one of the strongest substances, like natural substances known to man, is spider silk.
Really? No way.
Yeah.
Crazy. Except for the one that breaks when you pluck it.
And the strands are so fine. If you were able to make the strands thicker, it's very
strong.
It's the store brand. It's the store.
Yeah, that's a great value version. Yeah.
Yes.
It's other species of comb footed spiders. Dude, so what's on your target list? I know that you're about to go on on the herping mecca trip, and then what else is on your list for 2024?
Okay, that's great. That's wide open. So locally, okay, you guys got me on this one. I have never in my life ever found an Eastern hognose. So that is on the list. It has been on the lists for 35 years. Have not marked it off yet. So since I moved down here, I've been looking for one. But so that's huge on the list. I was out at a place where they had been spotted last weekend, it was, and found a worm snake. That's it. But so that's huge on the list. Mm-hmm. Because it's there, it's within grasp, right? You just gotta get it, you know. Because also on the list is northern pine. But you know, that's kind of a reach, right? They are around here. They are around here. There's a thing called Project Pine Snake, which is, well, I know it's a Facebook page, but they're doing research and they found them within 30 minutes of where I live. But I, of course, that's a target, but I don't know that I would count it as a target. That would just be like a miracle, right? To see it. But yeah. Eastern hognose, I should be able to go look for in an area and eventually turn one up. So that's a big one. Coach Whip would be really nice. They're around. So that would be a good one. And that would be like the main locals. So with that caveat, we talked about my work. I go to Arkansas for work fairly, at least once a quarter, sometimes more. And just started looking up hiking trails, and I started, you know, finding some stuff. But then you introduced me to iNaturalist, and I was just seeing what's around there. And I've been going there. I've been working for this company for 7 years. And I just looked the other day, milk snakes, hognose, speckled kings, prairie kings. Arkansas's freaking got crazy everything. Snakes. Yep. And they're all within their I sent you a picture of the speckled king I found. That was at one of my communities, and I just saw some rocks. And so I told the manager, I was like, hey, let's flip a couple rocks. And she was like thinking I'm like crazy. She knows that I like snakes, but so I flipped a rock, caught a skink, and I was like, dope. I was like, let me get a picture. And then on the way to the car to get my camera, I flipped a log, and there was a speckled king. And that had been big on my list. And I was like, holy shit. I don't cuss a lot, but I was like, hold on, I'm just walking around. Holy shit. And you know, I'm her boss, and she's like seeing this guy just freak out about this snake. And I was literally just walking around like, holy shit.
Let's go.
And she's just watching this. And she knows of my like herp interest and stuff. So she understood, well, maybe didn't understand the level of excitement, but anyway, I was like, do you have any idea what this is? She's like, snake. And I was yeah, but speckled king snake. I've been researching these because I'll try not to get on too far of a tangent because I jump around, but in Alabama-ish, they're Eastern blacks. Yeah. Right. That's where they kind of fade out. But allegedly, I believe it's Birmingham-ish, there's a population where they're Eastern blacks, but they're speckled. Like, and I don't know how that taxonomy works, but they look like speckled, but they still call them Eastern blacks, but they're speckled. So I've been playing with iNaturalist trying to find, and I was going to take a trip over there. Well, anyways, I'm at work in Arkansas, just flip a random log, hoping to find a redneck, and there's a freaking speckled king in there. Lost my damn mind. Luckily, I got her. I was like, here, hang on to it while I go get my phone. And she liked it. That's when I realized, like, well, there's some stuff here. And so then I started looking at iNaturalist, and I was trying to find speckled king snakes. But then I realized the other, and they have really cool milk snakes. They're not super red. They're kind of like faded light pastel. I don't know, but they're neat. And so, and that's right, like 20 minutes from where I was at. And so that's going to be a place where I usually go there once a quarter. I may frequent it more. They may need more visits from the boss, you know?
I'm
so,
just saying, just to,
to make sure that everything's running appropriately.
Yeah.
So that'll be a cool place to explore. I might get my Eastern king snake out there, and the speckles are just amazing. They're insane. So, and then where I'm at in Georgia, so I'm closer to like, I guess I'm not far west, but pretty far west. I'm definitely west of Atlanta. That's where the chains start to fade and you get closer. Sure. So it's, I love them to death, but I'm in probably the worst alley for appearance, right? They're not too pretty. They're not blacks, but they don't have the nice chains and the boldness. They're just kind of starting to fade. So they can be a little underwhelming. I get excited to see one, but they're not that really nice Eastern king snake. Yeah. So the speckleds blow my mind, the speckled, cause I found one, that's it. But, you know, I did. And then I did find that, that mole king snake one time.
Oh,
cruising.
Yes.
And that was just like weird. Cause objectively they're not super pretty. They're neat because they're rare, but it's not like you see it and it's popping, but it was just like, why are you crossing the road right now? So that's pretty cool. But the prairie kings are the same. Rob, you may know they're the subspecies, or they're related somewhere or another. I don't know. But anyway,
they're like a little heftier. They're a little more bulky.
That's right. They get bigger, right? Yeah, kind of similar. So those are out there. Something just neat to find, just to mark another one off the list. So that's kind of the local stuff. Now, we're taking a trip to California. We're going to be in like the Joshua Tree, Mojave Desert area.
Ooh,
hell yeah. So the target list is just like freaking 3 pages long, right? There's so much stuff out there.
Of course.
And what's crazy about there, I guess not crazy, but what's amazing and awesome out there is the lizards. They have some crazy nice lizards. You know, the desert iguanas, which I've loved since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. They have collared lizards I've loved since I was a kid.
Yes.
What? And then leopard lizards. They're like red. Yeah. They're related to the collards. Those are out there, and they're insane. And then, you know, you have all kinds of rattlesnakes. And then you grew up when you start getting the hobby of seeing California king snakes at every show and all the different types. To see one in the wild, I will lose it. If I see a California, just like the thing that I've been seeing my whole life, here it is crossing the road or in the desert or whatever. That's going to be really neat. Rosy boas.
Dude,
that's going to be freaking cool. They have the red racers out there.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that's different from the coach whip, the Western coach whip, but they call them red racers, but they're red. All kinds of stuff. They have the, you know, maybe we'll get lucky and see a Mojave desert tortoise. You know, like there's going to be opportunity. And then, so for any, well, I would say for anybody who doesn't know. So I was trying to find marbled salamanders and Rob finds them all the time. So I was like, dude, tell me where. And how are you doing this? And so Rob gave me the pointer. He said, just find a nature preserve around you. So that's the first tip Rob gave me. So I just said, you know, nature preserve near me, hiking trail near me. And that's what I do when I travel too. But, then Rob's like, and then you can also try this iNaturalist. And so Rob turned me on to that. And that's how I found my target species of, salamanders. Cause this year I found the marbled and then the spotted,
bro.
Which is unreal. Like, I was not ready for their size. I thought they were like marbles.
Oh, yeah.
Like they're a chunky little thing. When I took my first one, I was like, what is that damn thing? And they're like from here to here, it was crazy. And that was honestly all because of the iNaturalist. And so anyways, getting back to California, I played with iNaturalist on it. And we just randomly got an Airbnb. Bob picked it out and it was near things. Like, but there was no like strategy really. But around it is just, there's like this road and there is every species that I just named that you want to find plus that are all within a couple miles. So at least spotted around there. Right. So that means they're there at some point. Now, some of those pens are like from 2016, but some are 2023, but it at least tells you you're in the general vicinity. Now go do the work. But so there's gonna be a lot of opportunity there. I am really terrified about a 5-hour plane ride. Because it's really hard for me to sit down for 5 hours.
Yeah.
So I have a little bit of anxiety about that. But once we get there, I'm sure it'll be good. I'll take some Benadryl before we take off or something. But I think
that's
it'll be
the
totally
way to
worth
do
it. Pass out.
Yeah.
And then pound some caffeine when we land. But
I can tell you from experience of taking that flight multiple times, it does go by faster than it may feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think every
it's
time
4 hours and 45 minutes.
Yeah,
like, that's I can't wrap my head around.
That's not that. The first time I went to Cali, I was still living in Massachusetts, and it was like 6 hours, like pretty much on the nose. And dude, I was the same way. I'm like, I don't know how the hell I'm going to sit down for 6 hours. Like this is fucking brutal. And honestly, I was like, I had an early flight, so I ended up sleeping for a couple of those hours, and then the rest of it, I was like, in flight movie, let's go. Like Lord of the Rings. Let's bang out 3 hours.
Nice long quick, one. Yeah. I like that strategy.
Get it done, man.
Yeah.
Just pop in the headphones and you're good to go, dude. But it does go by a lot. If you can find something to distract yourself, it will go by super fast.
That I'll have to do, plan on that. Just have a game plan. Cause like as you're doing like the Herpin thing, it's nice that you can just go like rob your place that you found where you can just like shoot out and go like within 30 minutes, go find some places. It is nice to venture out. We did Arizona a couple years ago, 2 years ago. And that wasn't as bad, but it's nice to get out, but it's also nice just to be able to shoot over and go do it. So it's like two different experiences, so to speak. But there's a lot out there in California. We just got to find it.
True.
Yeah, it's going to be bad.
Dude, that's freaking awesome.
And so generally cool. with the community, the reptile community, generally between one of us, well, mostly Bob, knows somebody in that area or somebody around who can get us in the vicinity. And when we get in the vicinity, we can usually grind it out until we find something. We start to figure out a pattern. That's kind of like what we did when we went down to Florida and ended up, we haven't successfully proven it after that first trip, but found the berms. Is like, get us in the area and then just start paying. We just start paying attention to like when you start seeing dead stuff on the road, or look back at pictures when you started finding stuff, and you can kind of find, all right, they move around this time. And, you know, we didn't find anything from this marker to this marker, but here we saw this. But California, we don't know anybody. So we're just winging it. So we'll have to rely on iNaturalist and just the grunt work of getting out there. And, you know, sometimes you stumble onto like a an accidental pattern, kind of like a dead snake on the road. You'd be like, oh, all right, so let's wander around here. So just kind of key on those. But that'll be good. But yeah, target species, Eastern hog. I know you guys found one a year or two ago. Like you did like a big group. There was like 20 of y'all.
Yeah, it was like our first Carolina Herp Society meeting.
It's one way to kick it off,
dude.
Eastern hog,
literally, literally, bro. And we were, I will never forget that day, bro, because that lake was like 15 minutes from where I used to live, and I would go there periodically. And you know, you find a little ringneck snake or you know, a little rat snake or something like that. And my roommate had gone there once and he had found a rough green snake. And I was like, all right, cool. You
That's
know,
a good
so
find.
Stuff, you know, yeah. So there's some stuff, you know, so we plan the herp meeting and it's all cool. And I know that we're in an area where you can find Eastern hogs, but you know, especially us New England boys, you know, the Eastern hog is like, it is that holy grail. Like if I find it, it's like next level. So we're walking through the path. And all of a sudden, Rob just drops to his knees and is like, I got a hog and a snake. And I'm like,
no way.
No, the fuck you don't, dude. Like, there's no way, bro. And
because there was like four or five people in front of me. So, like, they walked past it. And then I was like,
Like, I'm telling you, man, it was like seamless. Like, all of a sudden, it was just Rob's like on the ground. And he's like, I got a hog and a snake. And I'm like, there's no way. There's no freaking way, dude. And he comes up and he's like, whoop. And we're all like, oh my God. Dude.
That's the first one I've ever found, too.
Yeah. Well, so I've only seen one last year at Daytona. Somebody had him on the table. Mm. That's the only time I've ever even seen an Eastern hognose in my whole life.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Dude, the ones that are in Western North Carolina and Eastern Tennessee are like, fire engine red, bro.
That's
so in October, we gotta try and get out and do some hogtober herping and see if we can find some, because I've seen some pictures and oh my Lanta, they are phenomenal.
Yeah, because around me I think they're mostly the melanistic, the black, which same, I'll take it, but the reds would be sick, or you know, even the browns with some of that pattern. What about, where's the I guess it's coastal Carolina. I don't know if that's around y'all. The red pygmies. Isn't that out y'all's way?
That's like two and a half, three hours east of me. So I'm like kind of in the middle. Jeremy's way on the west. He's like, what, 2.5 hours from me, 3 hours
west of me.
Three and a half now, like three.
Three and a half. So he's like probably 6 or 7 hours away from them. I have been talking to some people who live up in that area, and they're like, let's fucking go. I got some spots where we can go see some stuff. So I have to get out there and go check it out, because I would love to see some of those red pygmies like in situ. You had to check them out.
So, some of that stuff over there would be really neat to go explore. They have the king snakes are cool there too, right? Don't they have bands or something? The
clean.
It's neat how that little locality, and that's one of the things I got really into the king snakes is, like if you see, take those over there and you start moving over towards me, the bands thinned out and they start separating a little bit. Go into Alabama, there's not much pattern at all. Go over into the Louisiana, as you start getting the speckling. Go over to Arizona, and that's where you get the desert kings, where the speckling now becomes a little bit of a band. And then you get to California and it's banded. So it's just cool. It's like all it's the really same snake.
The gradient
shifts. It's all kind of flows nicely. And so you have these alleys in which they're different looking. And that'd be pretty, really cool to do. My buddy found, Michael Weaver found, he was down in South Georgia. I think they were hunting, and he found an Eastern king down there. And it was just, it was huge, first of all. Yeah. But, and it was just like the chains were like real saturated. It was awesome. It was beautiful. But you know, that's just a little bit south.
Yeah. The first Eastern King I found, I was at a gig in Tennessee and in Maryville, Tennessee. And I was walking from, we were playing a wedding. So I was walking from the reception tent to get to the green room. And it was just this little pathway. It's very beautiful up there, like very like wooded. Everything's like stone walkways and stuff, like very, very nice. And I'm walking and I just see something out of the corner of my eye. I look down. I'm like, fucking king snake. Like, what right. the hell? You know? And so I'm like, man, there's so many people here. They're going to lose their mind if they see this snake in the middle of the walkway. Right. So I'm like, all right, well, I'll grab it and move it and whatever. And
bag it up.
Took that thing home. No, so I grab it and I just kind of move it to this like wooded area that ended up actually leading more into the woods. But when I looked up, there was a staff member from the venue just staring at me like, did you just pick up that snake? What the hell did I just witness?
And gently place it over farther?
Exactly. Like he didn't chuck that thing as far as the hand could grow. Like, what's going on? And I'm like, the only thing that I'm bummed about in that experience was like, because I was like working, like I had to get to where I had to go. I couldn't really revel in that situation, you know? So that was a bummer. I'm super happy to have even found one, but I wish I had a little bit more time to really just enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know? 'Cause it was also one of those, like, I didn't have to do shit. I was walking.
That's right. Yeah. You know? It found me. So but it's when we found we're in Florida, we found a Brooks King.
Ooh, and hell yeah.
It was a baby. But we're road cruising, but we stop at like the where the water runs under the road and found it there. And I sat like, it's not a curb, but where the waterway is, I guess. And I sat there. And the guys were looking and I just sat there and just took it in because it was just, that snake was just so amazing. It's just a little bait, but it's just soaking it up. So yeah, pretty fortunate to have not been working. Cause I did like with the speckled, like I got to like play with it for a minute, but we actually had work to do. I was there for a day, but yeah, to sit down and just really take in that moment. And you know, like when you found the hog, one thing that's really cool is being able to share it with somebody. Cause when you find stuff by yourself, it's cool. You do your story, like, lifer, but when you're with people and you find that lifer and everybody's going nuts,
hype,
it's like it's a different experience when you can actually be with somebody and high five. And the other really cool thing about your story is when we find these lifers or these like monumental snakes, so to speak, you remember it, like you remember the first time you found that. And I remember my first Eastern King. Where I lived in Georgia, they have golf cart paths everywhere. And so we used to just ride our bikes and you'd see, it was like the old school road cruising. You're just riding your bike, not intentionally, but there'd be a big rat snake laying across the pathway. But I was really into snakes and I went to this place and there's a creek and a bunch of rocks. And I put my bike down, fourth grade, and I said, this looks like a place where a king snake would be. And I stepped on this big rock and it kind of went, ch-ch-ch. And I looked down and there was a king snake. And I remember that exact instant when I was fourth grade. I looked down and I'm like, did I just call my shot? And I snatched it up. And it was the first one I'd ever seen. I'd wanted to find it for so long, but just you remember that moment forever. It's pretty neat. And probably like the staff member, like, that guy's weird. Like, you know, how I just had like fourth grader remember catching king snake. But yes, because we love this and it's like, it just sticks with you, man. Yeah. Especially when you look so much, you look for so long and then you get it. And especially if it is, like you said, a target species, like I'm going to find a spotted salamander. I think they're here. And luckily it was like the 10th log I flipped and I'm like, I did it. Like when we're looking for it, we did it. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Well, what's y'all's target species?
I'll let Jeremy go first because I got a list.
Man, you know, I think for me, and probably because like I still have not found one and it bothers me, especially knowing that like my roommate found one at the lake by us, like rough green snake.
Ooh.
I gotta find one, dude.
In the past 3 years, I'm keeping count, I have found 10 dead on the road.
Oh,
in three years, not found one alive yet.
Damn.
So that is a good target.
Kills me. Like so roommate finds one there, and then one day I was visiting my rat guy, and I it was late. Like I got there super late. I ended up leaving super late. And he calls me. I'm like 15 minutes away, right? I had like just left, and he calls me. I'm like, oh fuck, I left something, right? And he's like, hey man, just didn't know if you saw it, but I figured I'd let you know there was a rough green snake chilling on the fence right by the edge of the drive. I was like, son of a bitch.
You know what? That's interesting though, because the first one I found down here was on a tree that had broken, like an old tree had broken, and it was like maybe 8 feet tall, and it was like maybe 3 foot off the ground, and it was climbing up that dead tree. And then when Cody Levac came out and did some herping with us last year, I was looking on the ground because we were at the water snake spot, and I'm like looking down, and he's like, dude, you walk right past this green snake, and there was a down log, and it was like just about eye height.
Oh wow.
And it was just cruising right along that. So yeah, how much you want to bet that we're not seeing them because they're like at eye looking. Height or just a we're little bit down. Higher yep. and we're looking down. We're not looking in the that's spot where they're at.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is a good definitely point. Climb and they're green yeah. like leaves.
Yep.
So yep. that makes sense.
Yeah. So
it's
that's
easier to find them at this time of year when there's not a whole lot of leaves on everything.
Yeah.
True. That's true. Wind. Yeah. So that's a big one for me. And then outside of that, man, I of course just want to find like timbers.
And yeah, that would be cool.
I always love finding that stuff. And there's a couple spots near me I found on iNaturalist where there's been some sightings. Nothing like crazy recent, but I'm like, okay, they're around.
They're somewhere over there.
Around. So
that's a good one. Yeah, that would be nice to find.
Because that was another species similar to the Eastern hognose, where it's like coming from New England, like finding something like that, like the Eastern hog or the timber rattlesnake or even a copperhead in some instances, unless you really knew where to look, like that was the rarest of the rare when it came to the reptiles, you know. So like there's still that element of me that's just like, I just want to see them any chance I can get. I want to freaking see them, you know. So
well, you know, like big, they're meaty, they're thick, so it'd be like really substantial to see this big thing there, you know. That was that's what'd be cool about it, the mass.
Absolutely. Like I remember finding my first Eastern diamondback down in Florida, and just like, dude, huge. It wasn't even that big. It was maybe like 3.5 foot. So like decent size, but certainly but not
big.
Huge, you know. But like with some size. And I remember finding it and just like I froze. Because it was like the moment of just like, that's what that is, man. Like, it's like next level. And then simultaneously on that same trip, finding a coach whip and realizing like I'm gonna move my pinky toe and what? That's gonna be gone, dude. Like it's gonna be freaking gone.
So you saw those two on the same trip?
Saw those two on the same trip. Yep. With
our
buddy KJ. I was in Tampa. I was playing a gig in Tampa and I had an extra day. And we had reached out to me and he was like, man, we're going to go herping, you know? So he brought me to a spot that he knew had some solid populations. And he's like, we're going to find at least one, you know? And I was like, that's all I care about, you know, like I just see one, you know? And we saw Eastern, and then it was probably maybe like 20 or 30 minutes later that we saw the coach whip, and the coach whip was like coiled up right along the edge of this like pathway for like, just like, 4x4s and ATVs and stuff, just like coiled up. And I was like, literally, I'm gonna move my foot. It's already seen me and is gonna be gone. And like, sure as shit, I took one step off the path and it was pew, gone. And it probably was like 5-6 foot, because I mean, it was coiled and looked like a friggin' lasso, dude.
Right.
I was like, oh man.
And they have big eyes, so they can see.
Huge. Oh yeah. That's why I was like, I'm gonna move my pinky toe and this thing's gonna be like gone, you know.
And they're that's cool. That's a good trip.
Yeah. Oh, even dude, just it was seeing it. Great trip. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I'm honestly, I think it's hard for me to come up with target species, because similar to my captive keeping life, I just like too much shit. So I'm excited to find
any
everything.
And all. Yep. I like that.
Heck yeah, man.
Dude, so what's Rob got?
Oh my God, I got so much stuff on my 2024 list.
Here comes the journal. Hang on.
It's ever evolving because like I have just been talking to a couple people and trying to coordinate some day trips, like places that are close enough where I can drive someplace and go check stuff out. And so I think that top of the list is the Arizona trip. I need to see like Willard Eye, Arizona Originos rattlesnakes. I need to see the Lepidus. Those are like my top, and Melosus, Crotalus Melosus, the Arizona blacktail rattlesnake. Okay. Those are my top three of the year. And I need that to happen like in the worst kind of way. And so the Arizona trip is going to hopefully hit on those ones. Like if I can hit a Willard Eye, that's like my top species for the United States.
What's that?
So it's an Arizona Originos rattlesnake. So they're okay. Like,
I know that. I just don't know Latin.
I think I've got, yeah, I do. I bought the hat at Last Daytona, but
they got
the painted face. They're like little dwarf, they're like pygmy. They're not.
Oh,
pygmy,
are they really?
They're really small rattlesnakes, and they're found in like really high elevation. So those are like tip top of my list that I want to see. And so that's on my 2024 list. And then I really, really, really want to, for North Carolina, I want to see, what was it I was looking for? I want to see mud snakes.
Oh, yeah, good call. Yeah,
those are really cool, but they're kind of more coastal. Cottonmouth in North Carolina would be really tight. I really would like to see one of those. Timber rattlesnake for North Carolina is another one. And then for the Daytona trip, I really want to see coach whips. And dude, David Levinson just messaged me today. He sent me a picture of a speckled king, and I was like, bro, that speckled king is insane. And then he sent me like a whole bunch of other pictures of stuff that he was finding, and he saw a coach whip, and I was like, dude,
I saw that coach whip.
Oh my God. Oh, it was phenomenal. And the face is so black, like so dark, and the eyes just like stand out. I was like, dude, that is like phenomenal. And he saw a hognose snake and like all
they saw a hognose, the speckled, the coach whip,
dude.
Because they're in that Midwestern area where there's a lot of snakes. Yeah. It's like, you think about Arizona, you think about California, you think about Florida, but you don't think about this little
Missouri,
quiet Midwestern
and Arkansas,
state.
Yeah,
just loaded with stuff.
Yeah. So I think that I might be able to mark off mud snakes with Jacob Rotz and Skyler, those guys down there. I think that we're going to try and plan a South Carolina trip so I can do a little day trip, go down there, do some herping and knock off some of those species and maybe see some rattlesnakes or something down there. So those are up there on my list. And then for Daytona, like I said, I really want to see coach whip. I would love to see a coral snake while we're down there. Although
that'd
be
cool. Yeah.
That's like a, you know, a white whale type situation. Like you don't target coral snakes. They just happen at one point or another. So, you know, you be in the area and then hope that your luck is really good. So those are up there for me. And then, like the Arizona stuff, I would love to see more stuff. And then I guess I'm trying to think like, for lizards, I've seen a lot of the lizards that I would like to see. I would like to see more of the Phrynosoma, the horny toads when I go out to Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many cool species of those that I would love to see more of them.
So when we went to Arizona, I mean, that's like kind of a staple of when you're growing up thinking of a lizard, that horny toad. And when we went to Arizona, we didn't find a ton. I don't know. I think we're spoiled from Florida, but we found some good stuff once we found our rhythm. But there was one day where we weren't finding anything. We're just riding this road. And there was one of those things crossing the road, and we rent a minivan. So one of the guys, Chris, he's like, the door's open to the minivan. He's just kind of hanging so he can get a good perspective. I threw that thing in park and he ran. We were not letting this thing get away because we hadn't found anything. And then it's a freaking horny toad. And they're not fast. They move a lot, but they're so small they can't get anywhere. Yeah. But we were like freaking out. We're not letting this thing get away. This poor little thing, like, And he got to the other side of it, so it wouldn't get to the road. And I literally dove on the concrete, smashed it, and I just laid there. Like, I got it. That was a really cool experience seeing one of those. I couldn't tell you what. I think it was the standard. I don't know what. There's a bunch of species of them, though, I guess.
Yeah, but there's a lot of different species of them.
But that was a really cool just to see it and hold it. And it was so chill. It just kind of like we posed it for pictures and stuff with us. But he just kind of hung out. And then we got in the car and we still had it. So there's like a console. We set it in there while we're just hanging out, talking about the experience. And he just sat there, looked around. And then we eventually were just like, all right, dude,
when do I get to leave?
Yeah, because he wasn't trying to get away. He wasn't tucked down. He's just like, it was pretty neat. But Arizona has tons of rattlesnakes. Yes. That was the cool thing about there is the Western Diamondbacks have that pink, pinkish lavenderish. So that's really cool. We found a lot of those, that in the Mojave. But we didn't find it. We tried to find the Banded Rock. Is it Banded Rock? Is that Lepidist, something?
Yeah.
Yeah. We couldn't find those. We were in the area. But that would be a really cool one. That's a really neat looking snake.
The clobber eye, yep.
But yeah, the Westerns are really, 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 really pretty, man. The garter snakes out there are pretty.
Ooh.
It's like they just have a different look to them, man. Just the standard garter snake, but they were dope. But
how about the scaloperus, dude? The fence lizards or the spiny lizards, dude?
Yes, we call them those. Yes,
the giant, these huge,
so much color too. They had a lot of color. That was neat. We found them like on a house, snatched it up. But that they have cool stuff out there. Yeah, definitely. But we went in September and it would get cold quick.
Yes.
So you didn't have a lot of that, like, I guess, dusk time to cruise. But we were still finding rattlesnakes crossing the road at like 62 degrees.
Yep.
They'll still move. But I bet they move better when it's warmer. But they're still out there.
It depends on how hot it is, because sometimes when it's super hot, it's like even then they're like, yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And that was pretty cool.
But, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So those are like most of my target species this year. I'm excited to go out with Jake and those guys. Hopefully we can get some cool stuff, some corns and some mud snakes. They found three rainbow snakes when they went out. And I was like, what the fuck?
No way.
I was like,
multiple rainbows. Wow.
Yeah. Apparently they've got a spot where like, he's like, yeah, like this is what you look for. And then boom, one after the other, they were just finding them. I was like, oh man,
that would be cool.
I'm very envious of that. So that's another one that is like kind of high up on my list, but I think that most of the stuff I hit on most of the stuff that I really would like to see this year. I didn't pygmy rattlesnakes again. I
figured you'd say that one.
Yeah.
When we go down the area I go to in Florida has the mud snakes and not like super rare. They're there and people find them. But that's been one I've like really wanted to find.
Mm-hmm.
And one time we were cruising and catching Nerodia, because Nerodia, you can always count on the Nerodia. You got to appreciate the Nerodia. They stink, they bite, but if it's there, you gotta enjoy it. But then this like family drives by and they're like, you know, you guys finding anything? And it was like a dad, a daughter, and like the wife, and they're just in this like, you know, little family sedan cruising. We're working really hard, and they're like, you know, like, yeah, find some Nerodia. And they're like, oh yeah, we just cruised the mud snake crossing the road right down there. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And they're probably just driving, you know, we're getting out and looking and flipping stuff and waiting around. And they just cruise past. Yep. It is, you know, and that road cruising is like, I have to remind myself of that when we're doing it. Cause you'll be driving and then you'll see a car behind you. And you're like, you're not passing me because, you know, you're not going to get to the snake first, but it's a game of seconds, you know, because if you think about
literally
30 seconds difference, the snake's not at the road yet and they wouldn't see it. And then you do, or maybe it's on this side of the road. So I always get that, you know, the anxious feeling like, oh, here they come. Do I speed up? Do I slow down? What do I do? Because I don't want them to find my snake first, but you got to remind yourself. It's just like, it's just random. If you're in the right spot, I'm just worried
that people are going to hit them. That's my fear is like the person is not there for snakes and they're going to hit it.
Right. Yep. And I have, cause the road I cruise here, it's 4 miles long. And so I just ride it back and forth. And so I know by the time I do a couple laps, I know every twig that's on the road. Cause I've stopped for it, every dark spot, everything. And so when I go and come back and then, you know, may not see a car on the road, but then I see a car and then just past the car, there's a snake dead. You know, it's like that guy just hit that, you know, that, for that person that always, and it's always a big jacked up truck, but it's always like, dude, I have been cruising back and forth, not seeing anything. This person hits it, right? That always stings a little bit, but at least you know you're in the good area, and it helped you ID a snake that was out there.
I guess.
Put a positive spin on it.
I'm reaching. I guess
I'm reaching here.
Oh, I guess.
Gosh.
Yeah. I mean, that's one way to look at it. So yeah.
Yeah.
It's yeah. I guess.
Meanwhile, Rob's like grabbing the DOR, chasing that car down. Do you know what you just did?
Dude, I have literally yelled at people before, like from the road, and they're already driving away. Like, I'm just like, oh my God, you swerved purposefully to hit that snake.
No, that's what's bad about it.
An asshole, like.
Or me and Aaron Mathis went down to South Georgia for just a weekend. We day cruises in at the end of October, and we found we didn't have a lot of luck. But we found DOR timber and a DOR Eastern Diamondback, and like we saw that it was on a busy road. The timber was laid out, and it's like, you know, when you see that big meaty snake, he puts it apart. I spill my drink everywhere. We're sprinting. Cause we ain't seen nothing all day. We're running so hard. And then Aaron beats me there and he's like, and I get closer. Somebody had cut the head off and cut the tail off. So like not, and its head was like, not in the lane. So somebody swerved, hit it, pulled over, cut it, laid it out straight, and then went on about their way. And then the same thing with the Eastern Diamondback, tail cut off. And it's like,
wow.
So somebody sees it, hits it proactively, gets out proactively to be like, oh, look at this cool keychain I'm going to make. It's just, it's ignorant in a way. But yeah, that sucked. That sucked. Cause that proactive, it's one thing to like I've hit a squirrel before and it actually hurts my heart when I do that. But, you know, you try and like hear the boom, boom. It's like, no, but like to proactively be like,
go out of your way.
Only good snake's a dead snake. And then, you know what? I'm going to make a keepsake out of this. Like, I don't know, that's happened. Yeah. We were lit when we saw that thing, buddy. Cause we had been looking so, all day. I mean, it was a great day because we're just hanging out, eating snacks in the car, driving around. But when you see that thing, and it was so we were fired up. But then it's like, oh, but it was pretty.
You go from up here to like,
yeah. And it was like fast. The skin was loose on it. Like it was that fresh, you know. It had to have been hit within the last 10 minutes. So it's same with the Eastern, but that's the way it goes, right? We got to have the right people find it. Because we would have escorted it politely off the road.
Literally.
I think last spring, we had a whole bunch of Eastern box turtles that were just like early in the morning, just like walking the roads. And I used to get so freaking anxious watching those.
Right.
Days. And it's like between like 7:30 and 9:30 in the morning. Like you could drive, it's probably like a 5 mile stretch of road by my house, and you would easily see 2, 3, or 4, like just
the road, no kidding.
Or like or sitting on the double yellow line, and I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. And so I'm the one as soon as I saw the first one, I'm like, every morning I gotta wake up at 7:30. I gotta go save all these turtles.
It's my responsibility.
That's it.
I've been chosen.
I'm the ninja turtle. So
I can't imagine somebody hitting one, man. I guess if you could do it accidentally, but that would suck.
That was the biggest thing. And I'm so thankful, like the community that I was in, like they were very, very hyper aware of the time of year and that turtles were crossing and people were swerving to move away from them. And I was like,
good.
Okay, this is cool. I'm still going to stop and move it across the road. But like that is really cool to see that people are at least aware of like, hey, it's turtle time, you know, like, not every rock in the road is just a rock. So
right.
Thank God.
That's cool.
Because dude, that would be like the ultimate soul crushing freaking thing, dude. It's like it's a turtle. Everybody loves a turtle. Even if you don't like reptiles, you like turtles.
How do you not like a turtle? Like, especially the nice cute rounded shell. Come on.
Exactly. It's like, oh, hey, look, he went in his shell because he's scared. Like, don't kill that. Don't hurt that.
Right.
Oh man.
Man, I'm trying to think of who it was. There was some celebrity who like tweeted like, "Oh, are box turtles endangered?" Because I just ran one over, and dude, I was like, I was so heated when I saw that.
Like, why?
Oh my God!
I even post that.
I don't know. He's like, it was a joke, and I was like, no, that's not a joke, dude.
Not a cool joke. Yeah.
No. That was several years ago now, but I'm still upset about it.
Right.
Still cuts a little deep.
Yeah. The wound is never fully healed.
Blake Shelton. That's who.
Was it really? That's right. Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah. Oof. I was upset about it. I don't know why. I was like, Billy Ray Cyrus was stuck in my head, but I just looked it up. Blake Shelton.
That's okay, Rob. So you know what you do for a joke? You're like, are acoustic guitars being made anymore? I just ran one over. Bro. Just smashed to the side of the stage.
No, it hurts. It hurt. Okay, I'm still upset about it.
Rightfully so.
Yeah. Yes, 100%.
Well, Matt, we've run a little bit over time, but that's okay. I love talking to you, man. So
yeah, we could go all night.
Probably.
If y'all don't cut me off, I will go all night.
That's how you end up herping until the sun comes up. You're just like that's right. With everybody hanging out, like finding some snakes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, oh, the sun's coming up. Oh.
Yeah.
Would you look at that?
Yeah. Would you look at that?
And it's Sunday of Daytona. I got to get back to the table.
Right. No, it's Saturday. It's Sunday morning of Daytona. I have to go to the show.
That's what I mean.
It's 5 o'clock. It's, 6 o'clock in the morning. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Rob got to go belly up at some breakfast place, getting the biggest pancakes in the world.
Dude, those bastards were like this. They were huge.
That across was after the we went hotel, herping.
Bro. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did our early morning herping trip where we basically got skunked, and then we were like, I don't really think I want to go to bed yet. And he's like, I don't think I'm going to bed yet either. And I was like, I'm about to go grab breakfast. So we were like, let's go grab some breakfast. Let's go to a diner.
I eat a lot, so generally I'll have to order like two entrees. And so like I definitely got humbled because they brought out these pancakes. I think I ordered something else, and I was like, oh my God, I could have ordered one of these and been full for the entire day.
Yeah.
They were amazing. It was a good to-go box.
Yes, it was a good to-go box. And yeah, I think I got like a pancake and then a not a French toast, a waffle. And I was like, oh man, I should have just done one of these. This
is just one.
It was so big. Hey,
just the random memories, man. It's good stuff.
Hell yeah, dude.
Dude, that's where it's at. Cool. That's where it's at. Absolutely. And I got to get down to Georgia to do some Georgia herping, man.
Yeah, man. We definitely need to link up for that. I can definitely put you on some good ring neck spots. Everything else is going to be by chance.
That's okay. I mean, you see a lot of stuff, man. You see the earth. You see lots of earth snakes and lots of.
What about my morph earth snake,
dude?
That pastel.
Yeah, that thing.
Yeah, whatever that was. I can take you to that spot. Maybe get you on a morph earth snake. Maybe we can do some line breeding and just really bring earth snakes to the hobby for everyone.
Look, man, y'all think that like Kenyan sambos are cool because they're small. You think that that African house snakes are cool because they're small. Just wait till you get a load of a baby earth snake.
These line bred earth snakes. Epic.
Dude. Hey, definitely. I stress out just thinking about what you would have to feed those babies.
Right. Yeah, what do they eat?
It's got to be something like termite larvae or ant larvae or something. That's
actually a pretty good idea. Actually, yeah. Because with the stuff I'm flipping has a lot of that around it.
Yeah.
So actually, you just dissected that so fast. Good call.
It's the worm snakes, dude. That's where I see the worm snakes. If I flip a rock and there's like a ton of ants under there, more than half of the time there's a worm snake there. So I'm like, that's has to be what it's eating, is just sitting there eating the little larvae or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So maybe.
Cool. And then, when I slide up to Asheville, we need to link up, Jeremy. Yes,
cause absolutely, dude. Just let me know.
I'm up there. Dude, yeah. Cause I go up there more than frequently. Yeah. That would be great.
Yes. Absolutely.
Actually,
that area is like highest concentration of salamanders in the world. So
is it really? Yeah. We got to get on that green. I want to be there when you find your green.
Dude, I'm going to be hyped.
Yes.
Yeah. Cause the Biltmore area, if you're in the Biltmore area, that's probably 25, 30 minutes from me. So not very far at all.
Yeah. Cause that area is small. Like if you come to Atlanta, you could still be an hour away from Atlanta, but Asheville is small enough. We got to be right next to each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I usually go up there for a couple days anyway.
Oh yeah,
and then I can extend it. We could do a weekend or something. But yeah.
Oh hell yeah,
that happen.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Let's fucking get it. I'm down.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Cool.
All right, man. So wrapping up the episode here, I really appreciate you coming on. But we always have the one question that we ask at the end of all of our episodes. I was literally just thinking about this yesterday. I was like, should we start asking a different question? because I don't want things to get stale. I want things to be new and exciting. But I'm going to ask you the same question. Just we're going to brainstorm a new question.
Dude, I've been thinking about that for the last... things to be stale, but we're going to stay the same.
I'm curious to see what he's going to say. Okay,
that's fair. So, that's fair.
What in the realm of reptiles, whether it be something that you're doing or something that you've seen online or something that you're planning on doing in the not so distant future, what is something that has you excited about reptiles right now?
Excellent segue. You see Tubbs?
Oh yeah.
I got some colubrid stuff going on. So not just self-promotion. I'm excited about colubrids, that I'm doing some colubrids, just the, like you talked about, the evolution of what got me in to Peach State Pythons. I've always been into reptiles, but what got me into let's start doing this, try to build a brand, try to get known. And then where it's gone, because it started with berms, which I can't keep anymore. So, and then, you know, I started getting a little more retics, took over a collection, and then just watching my own evolution and just, I guess, just expanding the depth of the fun. Right.
Yes.
Because one of those is a California king snake clutch, general, just what you see all the time. But I'm just so fired up about it, just because it's so different from a retic and the big snake and the cleaning. And it's just like you have this little thing that's fun. And so really excited about because you had mentioned what's going on with me. So in the reptile world, this expansion and just seeing what comes out, hatching new species, and just I guess mentally where this takes you personally and what you see other people do. You know, like it's like with Bob, I know he's working with some like garter snakes and just watching people do different things and enjoy different aspects and not just be stuck on one thing watching myself do that as well is what's kind of exciting. And so that's a good question. And maybe you don't need to change it because that question is so broad that you can really get into somebody's headspace with just the general question, because that could go so many different directions. So the additional feedback I have is keep that question going, I think.
Yeah.
Because like I said, I'm talking about my stuff, but somebody could be talking about a new species found overseas or whatever. But for me, so I got Apalachicolas. And I got the Cali Kings, and then, you know, I've been working with the bull snakes a little bit. So I got that going on too. So just new, neat stuff and just learning, I guess, a deeper level of what I like, which is probably everything. I'm a lot like Jeremy, like give me one of each. But just cool to be able to take. And I guess the other aspect of that is like, you know, I started with the berms and I tried to create this look in the berms, that leopard look and that light hypo that I got real excited about and created when I wanted to be a snake where somebody's like, oh, that's a PSP berm. But maybe having the opportunity to do that with other species and not have to be like pigeonholed to this one species, which evolves over time. But then being able to shift with the changes in legislation and stuff too is another thing that is kind of cool for me, because they shut down like this. I hatched this snake. This is my snake that they put on the shirt, and it's a berm. And so I have this, like, I don't want to call it a legacy, but my snake's on this forever, but I can't have them anymore in Georgia.
Yeah.
But it doesn't shut me down. It's all right, cool. Let's see what these Apalachicola is all about. You know, let's see, you know, I got that boa from Nerd when you're still working there. Like, you know, something may be going on with it. We'll see later on, but like what, you know, where you can evolve as things get thrown at you, what can you do to still have a great time doing this? And that was a 30-minute answer to your question. So, it's a great question. I like it. Lots of levels to it, man. That's a really good one, man. Got the gears turning up there. But, what I'm excited about. It's just, I guess, in summation, to wrap that up, is just you have a lot of opportunity if you like the snakes. So you don't have to do one thing. It doesn't have to be ball pythons or whatever. You can go field herp. You go field herp in your backyard. You can go to Arizona. You can breed, you know, scrubs. You can breed Apalachicolas. You can bring Calis. You know, whatever you like, an avenue of appreciation in at all angles.
Hell yeah, dude.
California king snakes were always on my list of things that I wanted to keep one day. And I have I've not personally kept them. But I remember going on, I cannot think of the name of the website now, but they had the like 50-50 Cal Kings, black and white. Yeah. And then they also had on their website, the black ones with the white stripe down the back.
And Scissor Crossing?
Seeing those, like...
Scissor Crossing?
Dude.
Yes.
I remember seeing that when I was, 13 years old and just being like, this snake is so amazing. It's right. So cool. And like, this is like taking it to like way, way, way back. But like when I was young, I don't know, maybe 10 or 11 years old, I liked to like burn incense and just like sit in my room and just like think and like read reptile books and stuff. And I had like a burn box, and I had this box that I like painted the top, and I wrote blood python across the top of it. And then on the inside, I wrote down like what snakes I want to keep. And I had like vine snake on there, and California king snake was on that list. It was like vine snake, California king snake, Borneo short tail pythons,
and then
blood python on the top. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And you got the Borneos. That's your jam.
I got
now.
The Borneos.
That is so cool.
A ton of Borneos. I've had the vine snakes, Oxybellus vine snakes. I've had blood pythons, and I've bred blood pythons, and Cal Kings are still, I've not taken that step, but they're always something that I've enjoyed. And have you seen like freshly hatched king snakes?
No, I have not. Dude,
they are so, they're like, they're just like when they come out, their scales are like a little different. Like to me, they just feel a little bit different. They feel like they come out and they're already toddlers. They're like, let's fucking go.
No way.
It's one of the things that's always made breeding them very enjoyable, because they come out and they're so robust, and they're also very willing to eat. So
that's cool.
Much better also. And but they feel like they're just ready to go.
That's neat. Right, cool.
Jump, dude. Right.
Well, I look forward to that. Yeah. It's like the Cali King is just like nostalgic in a way. Yes. I don't know. Cause it's simple and they're fun, and they're real easy. And so, that nostalgia of it makes it really cool. But yeah, that's something to look forward to then. Cause that clutch just dropped today.
Dude, big congrats. That's 60 awesome.
Days. Yeah, man, that's pretty cool.
Dude, that's tight. I'll have to send you a picture too, because before I met you, I was working in Maine at this pet store, and this guy was like, hey, I need to surrender my king snake to you. I can't keep it anymore. And he dropped off that and like a couple other things too, a boa and some other things. But this boa was like this big around, and it had wrinkles because it was so overweight. When he said a king snake, I was like, okay, like a king snake. I've seen king snakes before. And apparently this king snake, he fed it a small rat every 5 days. Like, rodent pro small rat, like a medium rat every 5 days. I'll have to send you a picture, because this thing was easily six and a half foot long. And it the size of a soda can around. It was huge, man. Absolutely massive. It was way overweight and ended up dying early because it was so overweight. But like, dude, that thing was huge.
Because they'll eat
just your average California python. It's fine.
Basically, bro. It was an Appalachicola, dude. It was crazy.
So those will get big. So I had a retic clutch that just hatched over the past week, and had some that didn't make it. More than I wanted, but my Appalachicola, she ate like 5 baby retics in a week.
Damn.
Cause I was like, you want another? Cause she's one, she laid, so she needs some calories, and I had them. So it's like, and the bull snake will eat them sometimes, but he wasn't interested. So I was like, and then she got to the point where she was in the back of the tub, and if I opened it, she'd rattle her tail. She's like, no more, I'm tapping out. Do not give me another one of those things. So I'm not going to chill out on her, give her some time. So I don't get in that predicament where I have the California python.
That's fucking tight.
Yeah. But definitely guys, I'm glad that I got your message this morning and not last night, cause I probably wouldn't have been able to sleep. So excited to be on here, but I'm glad we finally made that full circle back again. Just thinking back on, I didn't even know you then. And, I did the conference call. It was a good time, but it's neat. The other side of like what I'm excited about in the hobby is like, think about us. Like we've built a genuine real friendship just from starting at a podcast and then just being in the same circles for a while, like generally my friends. So that's the other side of the, I guess, to go back to your question just keeps on giving, man. Don't change it. But like, yeah, think about us, right? We're talking about a herping trip and like, I didn't know you guys, you know, I just did a podcast and then we all get along really well. And a lot of the communities like that too. Just, you like snakes, sure. I like snakes. You're cool. Let's do it. I'm glad y'all asked me to come back on. It's been a lot of fun.
Hell yeah, dude.
Absolutely. And if people want to see your beautiful king snakes when they hatch out or see the things that you're working with or your adventures, your stories for your field herping, where should people follow you online?
So Peach State Pythons is where I do a lot of the snake stuff. As far as like breeding and showing like my collection. And then I do have a personal, which is just, it's Matt Bowers 15 on Instagram. I don't do a ton of posting there, but I do a lot of stories. Mm-hmm. And you'll find the 10 adventures, just me wandering around finding 10, and occasionally a snake will be there. But yes, give me oil. So if you cared to see those instances, you could follow me there. But Peach State Pythons is kind of the more prominent one in which it will be mostly snake stuff. But I guess my personal, because I don't post a lot, because I don't do a lot. I'm a pretty boring guy. So it'd be like, unless you want a picture of me at work, right? So it'd just be like my herping stuff. So I guess it has kind of evolved to that. Some herping pictures on there. I just don't post a lot. But, you know, with the California trip, there'll probably be some cool pictures. But anyways, yeah, that'd be the best place to see me doing things. One of those two. Or both. Yeah, dude.
Both. That's right. Most likely both. You should check them both out. Well, thank you so much for coming on, man. I love you. This has been awesome.
You guys too.
And if you hang on the line, we'll boot you out and then we can talk a little bit after it. But thank you so much for coming on, man.
Cool. Absolutely, guys.
Yeah, dude.
Yes, sir. See ya.